We're going to build the wall. We have no choice.
Build that wall. 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 So, we're going to build it. Who's going to pay for the wall? 100%.
There's a guy, Michael Steele.
It's all real. It's all happening.
There's a guy. He's that was today in California, just about within the last hour. He did have a great moment, too, when of course, a predictable protester popped up. And he said, now, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. Let the police do their job. Don't we love the police? Don't we love the police? Let them do their job. Don't hurt him, even though he's a very bad person. That's a very bad person. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, I watched that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't even a word out of place on that, was there?
Actually, no, you did that rather faithfully. That was good. That was right.
Right? Yeah.
You clearly are a man who has studied Trump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, let's go to the other side here for a second. Because sure. As the former head of the Republican National Committee, you understand what it's like to run a national committee. And today, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who this is interesting because the Democrats and Republicans do it a little bit differently. But they take as when you become the head of the Republican National Committee, that's your full time job. That's what you do.
Right.
And on the Democratic side, they have people running it who are current politicians. So is that more of a figurehead job then?
No, it's not. It's a little bit different when you have the president sitting down the street from you. So the dynamic shifts much more towards 1600 Pennsylvania as opposed to Capitol Hill, where DNC headquarters are located. Same is true for Republicans. When there's a president, you're a little bit more of a figurehead. You're definitely much more responsible for the day-to-day management of the party. You don't have to worry about messaging. You don't have to worry about, you know, a lot of stuff like that. You just want to make sure the money's raised and that you're backing the right candidates type of thing.
Now, they're calling for her. Some are calling for her resignation, and then there's Democrats in the Senate that say they're not going to support her to return to that post.
I'd tell you rather frankly, I don't think the woman wants to return, and likely on her own volition, she will not need any help from anybody else. She's not going to be in that job after this cycle. I can almost guarantee you that.
And would
So
who would it be then, Michael? Tim Canova, is that his name? The one Bernie Sanders is saying he's supporting?
Possibly. You know, that'll be an interesting battle within the party. I would say it is 99.9% certain Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the congressman from Florida, will not be chairman. She will not re-up, number one. Number two, that will then set off a chairman's race within the DNC.
And this will happen in Philadelphia this summer, right?
Well, no, it will happen after. It will happen after the election because she will be chairman
until
a Democrat president is chosen or they lose the election this November. If a Democrat president is chosen, Hillary Clinton will put her own person in as chairman of the DNC. That's number one. Number two, if they lose, then Debbie will likely not run again. It will be an open race for chairman, which will set off some really interesting dynamics with progressive members out of the Bernie Sanders camp who will want to take over the party at that point to get ready for the 2020 elections, largely blaming the loss on Hillary Clinton and the sort of soft, mealy-mouthed brand of, you know, Democrat that they bring to the table. Very much what we saw play out on the Republican side,
right? Mm-hmm.
Over the years.
We need crazy. Is that what Democrats would say? We need crazy. We got Bernie Sanders. He's kind of crazy.
It was perfect.
And Republicans are saying, hey, we want crazy right now.
Yeah, they are. In large measure, that's what they're saying. They've had enough of the stable, you know, refined, you know, sort of put together messaging of the GOP, which has led to, what, four out of the last five presidential races being lost, and, you know, big issues that are important to conservatives being trampled on by the president. And then on issues where they felt that they could stop the president, no effort was made to do that. And again, a loss was notched in the corner. So the party has now pushed itself to a point where it's like, you know what? It can't get any worse for us. We've been out in the desert on policy for a while.
They don't understand. Right. They don't understand. It can get worse.
Well, I guess, Michael, when it felt like after the Mitt Romney defeat, the Republican leadership huddled together and said, hey, we need to attract more women to the party, younger voters, and Latinos. But now you've got Trump, who seems to be failing on all three fronts.
Right.
So how can he win? Can he win without it?
Well, that's going to be one of the interesting tests. The frustration I have right now with Donald Trump is I don't think he fully appreciates the fact that he's got the nomination, that the contest, the primary, and all that you had to do and go through in that is done. Now this is about addition. This is about adding voters to your ranks. This is about expanding your reach and the breadth of your touch for supporters. And I don't know if they really get that part of it. I don't see how.
I don't think it's they, by the way. I think it's he.
Well, it's him, but they have to be responsible for him. And ultimately, they have to either say, you want to be president and this is how you do it, or this is just going to be a sideshow for the next 5 months and a waste of time. Hillary Clinton will win. She'll get the point, Supreme Court justices, et cetera, et cetera. So you take, for example, what happened last night in New Mexico. Now, I have been touting for some time someone who I think would be a tremendous asset to Mr. Trump, and that is the governor of New Mexico. Well, I have to take that now off the table since he basically trashed her last night on her home turf. And I'm sitting there thinking, why? I don't understand why. It makes no sense. Okay, so she didn't appear with you while you were doing whatever all of that evening. Give everybody the space they need to work what they need to work to come to you. Just like you're giving space to Paul Ryan, so you have to give space to some of these governors. She's in a very difficult state. You realize, of course, a significant voting population in New Mexico happens to be Hispanic, by the way. Oh, and by the way, so is she. So, understand that, this idea that she's not going to warm up to you out of the box because of some of the things that you've said about her community. Mm-hmm. You've got to take that into consideration. And the fact that you would just go and trash her, it makes no sense to me.
So the New York Times had a very great analysis.
I'm beginning to sound like you now.
I know.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Michael.
God, Michael,
please.
I was just so waiting for that moment. But New York Times had a great article today about think piece, as they like to say, about how Donald Trump is interesting because he is the provocateur, not a president. And he has done something that the old school way was you had these button down guys. You're talking like Mitt Romney's the poster child for what we're talking about. Guys, he's got he's a governor and he's wearing a suit and he's got a family. It looks like that they're in the frame at the store.
Right.
Very buttoned up. Yeah, very buttoned up. And then but he in his team of people around him, they're the ones that are out there leaking stories, right? Like the Vince Foster story has come back from the Clinton era that Clinton murdered Vince Foster, one of his aides, because there was a scandal about to break. And even though this is a guy who went and killed himself in a public park, a national park in Washington, there was this whole conspiracy. And so at the beginning of the Drudge Report and Limbaugh and all the rest of the conservative media coming up out of talk radio and the internet, they found voice to that. And so you'd have those people out there, and then the main guy would go, oh, well, I don't know if I believe in any of that, but it certainly is an interesting story, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the way your Mitt Romney type would play it.
But now you have the main guy doing it.
Right. Now you got the main guy doing it. Even Limbaugh, of all people, acknowledged that the New York Times quoted him saying, hey, even he's doing it. He's stealing my act, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and it's a very, and I just... It's such an interesting way of looking at it, but I wonder, will America at the end of the day vote for a guy who, like today, he said somebody in the crowd, Hispanic, woman,
veteran,
three great verbs. Right? I mean,
and
the
then
guy
you stopped and you thought, wait a minute, he's I don't think any of those are verbs.
Dumbest billionaire ever. And yet there is there and people are like, oh yeah, no good, woohoo.
Hispanic, adjective, noun.
Yeah. I mean, noun.
Right, I know. I mean, it's like none of it makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
And the,
well, it makes sense to the people who you know, just they're at the point where they're just like, you know, I just don't want to stand on the formality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this cycle, you had the provocateur and you know, running against the Hillary Clinton, and the question becomes, do you want the button down, staid, sort of protected class of politician that we've seen and that she clearly will represent this fall? Or do you want to break that mold? You want to shake it up and reset what will come in the future? Regardless of how you look at what happens this November, my estimation is the presidency has been changed in terms of how people will now look at candidates and what they will expect from those candidates. My bet is that they will want to see maybe not a full Trump in someone, but they want to be able to. They're going to be looking to see if you've got that little bit of an edge, that little element that says you're willing to take a risk
right.
for me,
insurgent.
If you're willing
to
go out, right? And if you've got a little insurgency in you, because I think what Donald Trump has done is sort of taken a straight and narrow pathway to the presidency, and he has created an off ramp.
Yeah, no question. It's sort of it's actually a diversion. It's like he's going around. It's like you get all the arrows pointing off and go around. Well, you know, but Michael, what's interesting about that, though, is that, yeah, will there be other people like Trump? Only if they can afford to pay for themselves to get through.
Well, because you see that with Mark Cuban saying, well, you know, I could run. You know, and
right.
I don't think America wants to embrace the traditional politician anymore. And so I'm a perfect candidate now.
But the thing is, trust me, if Trump wins and becomes president, it's all going to change because he has to work within that system. And whether that is a gigantic failure, seeing what's happening here in Illinois, nothing's getting done. Right. You got a guy who's a billionaire sitting there in Springfield who basically, took he's a very different individual. He's a very different politician,
sure.
But he is. And he's, you know, he's a moderate guy, mm-hmm. but he is. You know, it doesn't work like that. You can't get it all.
Well, he's stymied by the process.
Yes, and that will happen to Trump. So
it's going to happen.
The next, but the point is that whatever the next politician is that is going to come up their way through that, if they don't have enough money to pay for themselves, donors that they need are not going to embrace. Trump is having all kinds of trouble raising money, and the RNC is having trouble raising money with Trump at the head because they're like, wealthier Americans
they're starting to break a little bit of that, though. They had an event last night, and you know, so the RNC and Trump have sort of aligned themselves in a way to go out to the donor class and make the pitch. You know, Sheldon Adelson has come on board. He's committed $100 million to this effort. That's a huge first step.
Right. He makes that in a day, essentially. I mean, maybe a week. Let's say a week. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he can do that.
Yeah.
But
he gives cover to a lot of people. Look, there are going to be members of the donor class who absolutely will want nothing to do with Trump. They've either had dealings with him in the past and that didn't go so well, and they remember. They don't like what he's doing to the party. They don't like how he's presenting himself for the presidency. They'll have a whole list of reasons longer than your arm for not supporting him, and that's fine. But there will be, more importantly, a significant enough group that will help fund. At the end of the day, down-ballot races still matter. And so you want to hold the Senate, you need to raise the money to the RNC. You want to hold the House, you need to raise the money to the RNC. You want to pick up in some local races, legislative seats, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to need the RNC is going to still need to be that conduit through which those dollars are raised.
They're going to do. They're going to go, this isn't going to Trump. Don't worry. This is going to the governor's race. This is going to that Senate race. Remember the congressman?
Yeah.
That's where it's going. It's not going to Trump. All right, Michael. you know, we're still friends. We're still intellectual, simpaticos. But it's just, you know, and the closer you get to my thinking here, the better off you're going to be. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
I see.
Michael, I think we need to. Yeah. We need to hook a row up to like a heart monitor and watch a Trump speech and see what happens, because I had to do that this afternoon, you know, and it really was not a pleasant experience. He was like, what is he saying? What's he saying now? He got very
angry. I would love
angry.
To see that in person.
Yeah, I need a cardiologist standing with me, though.
You do.
I do. Or, you know, the person with the paddles, you know, you always see on TV, like on ER. Clear!
We're ready.
Clear!
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
All right.